Turn in your Bibles to the book of Daniel in chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. Let's read verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber towards Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would bless the preaching of your word here this morning. Lord, we're gathered together. We're here. We're in your name. Lord, we ask that you'd speak with us. Ask that you would move freely upon the hearts of those that are in the room here today, and that no one would leave without being changed, affected, convicted. Lord, however you see fit to move here this morning, I pray that you'd have the freedom to do so. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, when you say Thanksgiving to most people, then they don't think about it in terms of how the Bible portrays it. Most of the times you think Thanksgiving, you know, you think automatically of turkey and mashed potatoes and football game on TV, you know, and family getting together. And it's an amazing thing, you know, to the world is, and to our nation, it's become just basically a holiday. I want to preach on Thanksgiving, but I do want to be thankful, first of all, that I don't have to preach on the holiday. I mean, go back and try to trace the history of it. You know, did the pilgrims really land at Plymouth Rock, or did they land on a beach somewhere? You know, was Squanto the Indian, was he a conniver, or was he really this or that, you know? You know, I don't know. You know, there's two sides of all history, you know, and there's one is the Indians brought the corn. Another one, the pilgrims went out and stole the corn, you know, and I don't want to sit there. And another thing is they weren't really pilgrims, you know, they were actually others and they never declared themselves to be pilgrims. And, you know, to me, I don't care about all that. It doesn't matter to me. You know, because to us as born again Christians, Thanksgiving is not a holiday. To us, it's a way of life. And man, I'm telling you what, that's a big difference. In this passage right here, and what I want to do is I want to bring three scenes before you. Two where actual Thanksgiving is mentioned, and another one where it's only implied. But I want to bring three scenes before you, and maybe illuminate some things about Thanksgiving that ought to be true in our life. And the first one is here in the book of Daniel. And this, of course, is a very famous passage where Daniel had been set up by those who were coming after him and wanted to bring his downfall. They wanted to destroy him. And they realized that there was nothing untoward going on in his life. There was nothing bad in his habits. And so the only way that they could do it was by making this bogus proclamation that nobody could pray to God for 30 days except to the king. And then they knew they were going to catch Daniel. They knew that Daniel had this habit of going into his house every day, three times a day, with his windows open towards Jerusalem and praying and thanking God. You know, to me, that's an incredible testimony. Sad to say, you know, we're fair weather friends a lot of times when it comes to the Lord. Oh yeah, we'll be glad to thank the Lord and be thankful and be joyful when things are going good, you know, and when we have actually something to be thankful for, quote unquote. But then when things are going bad, I'm telling you what, we're the first ones to criticize and complain and to get this black cloud over our head and start talking about how bad things are. I'm telling you something, a born-again Christian always ought to be able to see the good side of something. Like Lendell said, you know, the worst of times, at least we're saved, man. I mean, I'm telling you what, in the worst of times, I may not always be able to say thank you, Lord, with this bubbling up emotion of joy. But you know, sometimes I can do it through tears, and it means just as much. Well, Daniel's there, and he's there praying three times a day, as his habit was, and as he did aforetime. You know, as we go to this scene, I want you to notice something. What brings a man to be able to get on his knees and say, thank you, Lord, at the very peril of his life? You know, but that's exactly what's going on here. He didn't know that this proclamation, no, he knew, he understood. Right. He knew the cost. Let me tell you something. There are times when it's going to cost you to say, thank you, Lord. It's not going to be an easy thing to do all the time. What we're not talking about doing is we're not talking about being robots and just simply voicing out the words either. I think Daniel, he actually genuinely got on his knees. We read one of his prayers later on in the book of Daniel. We know how he prayed. We know how he interacted with God. This was a habit for him. Let me tell you, we ought to make Thanksgiving a habit.
Amen.
I am embarrassed when I get around other people that start, you know, downgrading the boss and doing this and that, and then I get caught up with the same thing. That's embarrassing. That shouldn't happen with a Christian. I changed it around the other day. You know, the boss this and the boss that. I said, you know what? I am so thankful that man hired me. Just looking at me for a minute. You talk about stopping a train, man. I said, man, I am so glad I am not on the side of the road with a cardboard sign saying, we'll work for food. Although I might get more money doing that, I don't know. But still, by the way, I'm thankful I'm not doing that. I'm thankful I have a job, you know? And then they're all kind of reluctantly, you know, well, you know, yeah, you know, you're right. You know, we do have a job. I don't think Daniel was there like some little kid that he's making him do it. You know, like you make some kid, tell him thank you, you know. Kids are real small, you know, and some person comes up and gives him a cookie or something. I saw it in Sam's the other day. The baker came over and gave this kid a cookie, and the mother's there, and the kid's just gobbling down this cookie, you know. And the mother's there, say thank you, you know, say thank you. And the kid would not, got a bad attitude and got a bad thing. You know, that's not like Daniel. I don't think he was in his room saying, oh man, okay, Lord, thank you. Like you're almost spitting the thank you at him, you know, like, okay, here, I'm going to give you what you deserve. No, I bet Daniel was saying, thank you, Lord. I bet you overhear his prayer. You could probably feel the emotion and maybe a little tension in there too, because he knows the cost of what's going to happen if he's going to do this. But Daniel can teach us some things. Another thing is his thank you was not a secret. He opened his windows. Man, I'm telling you what's wrong with us in public just saying, thank you, Lord. The Lord is good. I'm telling you, it stops people in their tracks. I have always said, and I'm going to say it again, the lost world is not ashamed of their sin. They put it on TV. They put it on the billboards. They advertise it on the radio. And they are proud of it. They have pride parades for all their different kinds of sins. And we can't say, thank you, Lord. Shame on you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Feels good for somebody to tell you thank you, doesn't it? We had an old man yesterday helped us out a lot and sold us a van and sold it to us at a good price because we needed one with a wheelchair lift. And I'm telling you what, both me and Judy, we were just there and the kid, we were like, thank you, sir. And he was enjoying it. Hey, it's good for somebody to show some gratitude, isn't it?
Amen.
Don't you think God enjoys it? Amen. And you look at that and you say, man, that guy, maybe he should have toned down his faith a little bit. Maybe he could have preserved his life. Maybe he could have spared these things. I'm telling you something. God did preserve his life. God did help him out. And let me tell you, you give God the glory, the honor, and the praise, and then let him figure out the consequences for you. Don't be ashamed of the Lord. It was a habit. It ought to be a habit with us. It wasn't secret, and it shouldn't be secret with us. And you know, as we're going to find, it wasn't popular. Yeah, maybe around Thanksgiving time. You know, try to go to the store now and buy Thanksgiving decorations. My poor wife, all she wanted, man, and she's not asking for much, a couple of doilies with orange and brown, you know, a few candles, something to put on the table, you know, just, you know, I don't know, maybe a little ceramic turkey or something. And you can't find nothing but holly and berries and Santa Clauses and all that kind of stuff. But I'm not preaching on Christmas, so. But I still think it's a shame. Man, let us have Thanksgiving before you start shoving the false gods down our throat. At least let us have our Thanksgiving. They're already playing Christmas music on that 109 point whatever it is. I don't listen to that, by the way. You know, I got a couple of verses for you. If you're not thankful right now, and I'm not talking about, you know, having something in your mind thinking, man, I'm really thankful for this or that, but I'm talking about a lifestyle of thanksgiving, which is what I'm talking about, a lifestyle, then maybe you're ignorant of His will. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. If you turn there, and I want somebody, a volunteer, to stand up and read it for us. 1 Thessalonians 5:18.
In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you.
Excellent. And you didn't hear it from me, you heard it from Him. This is the word of God. You know, maybe you're ignorant of His will. Do you know the lifestyle of thanksgiving is what God wants you to do? This has nothing to do with your emotional state. This has nothing to do whether you're on top of the world or whether you're loaded down and burdened with all kinds of cares and frustrations and things. This is the will of God in every... How does it say it again?
In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you.
You know, a mature man would say, you know what? It's what God wants me to do. See, this is spiritual maturity. Spiritual maturity is not that you can quote 800 verses on instant recall and you can do all these things, although that'd be a really cool thing to be able to do. Spiritual maturity is to recognize what God wants you to do and to do it. Colossians in chapter 3 in verse 15, I need somebody else. If they would volunteer to find that quickly, stand up and read it for us. Colossians in chapter 3 in verse 15. You're taking way too long.
And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you're called in one body, and be ye thankful.
And be ye thankful. That's an attitude. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. If we did a study of thanksgiving in the Word of God, you know what we would find? We would find over and over again, it's tied to peace. Leviticus, there's an offering in there, a thanksgiving offering that's part of the peace offering. I wonder why we're so troubled sometimes in our own hearts. So keyed up. So at unrest. You know where a lot of my unrest comes from? It comes from desiring things that I don't have right then at the moment. Man, I really need this. Or, man, I really want that. And that will give you some unrest. If you don't have things and you want things. But it's an amazing thing how when He ties these things together, He said, you know, be at peace. And then He says, be thankful. You know, that's not just saying thank you. That's a lifestyle of thanksgiving. It would amaze you at how much good it does for your heart.
Yeah.
Just to have an attitude of thanksgiving and gratefulness. Some of us are so incredibly ungrateful. We get irritated. And I know part of it, you know, society bombards us and everything. But man, I'm telling you something. We get into a traffic jam yesterday on 35. They had some lanes closed down and we're trying to get down the road 35. And I mean, you're stopped in traffic and there's nothing you can do. And this lady in the Suburban, she was like, you know, I mean, just as soon as the traffic move up, she, and then she's constantly putting on her brakes. And I mean, she was making me tense, man, just, and I had to say, man, there's absolutely nothing I can do. We were tired, we were hungry, but we were in traffic. You know, you got to come to the place to realize that there's some things that you have no control over. You can't do anything about it. So might as well just be thankful. We already know how to grumble. We're good at that. You don't need any more training in how to do that. Let's train ourselves to be thankful. Hey, there's another scene I want to bring before you. Look in Jeremiah in chapter 29. Jeremiah in chapter 29. This is a scene where we're not going to find the word thanksgiving in this particular passage, but I do hope to illustrate something about the lifestyle of thanksgiving. Look in Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 4. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captives, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon, build ye houses, and dwell in them, and plant gardens, and eat the fruit of them. Take ye wives, and beget sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that ye may be increased there, and not diminished. And seek the peace of the city, whether I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it, for in the peace thereof shall ye have peace. And then it goes on and begins to talk about future things that God's going to do. Now, you look at that and you say, okay, this has nothing to do with Thanksgiving. But I want to show you another passage in conjunction with this, because this is God's mind right here. This is what God told Jeremiah to tell the people. He said, look, you're in this place. They already knew the reason. And he gave them instructions on how to dwell there. Look, hold your place there and look at Psalm 137. Psalm 137. Because this is the way that they were looking at it. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song. And they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. Verse 4, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Now flip back over there to Jeremiah. You see the difference? You see what the people are thinking? And man, I'm telling you something, I don't blame them. I mean, I can feel for them, man. I'm right there with them. I understand. Man, they have suffered a devastating loss like you wouldn't believe. Many, many of their countrymen had been killed. Their cities had been decimated. Their families had been broken up. And there they were in Babylon of all places, a place where everything there was abomination. And there they wept when they remembered Zion. And you know, it's a clear picture of incredible disappointment. Sometimes through life circumstances, sometimes through your own sin, just the loss that sin brings. And this was their own choosing. This they brought upon themselves, so it wasn't like they could blame anybody else. And there they just, this is what they decided to do. They decided to take those harps, they hung them up on the willows, and they stopped singing. They said, we're not going to sing anymore. You see, as long as we're in this land right here, we're not going to sing anymore. And the Babylonians were like, hey, sing us one of the songs of Zion. You would think, man, what an opportunity to honor our Lord. Right. Be like if they took a bunch of us to jail and then the jail guard said, hey man, sing one of those songs about Jesus that you guys know. Man, that'd be like a light in a dark place. Okay, man, we got something we can do, you know, and start singing about Jesus at least. But man, they were dark and they were depressed. And they were focused on all of this that had come upon them. And yet what the Lord wanted them to do was to make plans. Yeah, Thanksgiving is not in there anywhere, but let me tell you something. What God wants us to do is even, because Thanksgiving sometimes is the most valuable when it doesn't have anything outward to relate to it. Sometimes it's the most valuable. You see, that's why this attitude of Thanksgiving is not dependent upon where we are. We were talking yesterday about some of these Amish groups and some of these, you know, self-sufficiency type groups. And the person we was talking to was not a Christian. And she was saying, you know, I just don't understand, because she knew an Amish group and she saw, you know, how they were real strong on some things, like not having zippers in their clothes. But then they would, you know, they would give a break on other things by having diesel generators outside their house, you know. And she says, I don't understand. What's the deal here? And I was trying to explain to her. I said, look, with the Amish community and with groups that are trying to portray this outward form, you got to have stuff. If you want to be a godly Amish, let me tell you, you know, you have to have candle making equipment. You have to have land. You know, you have to be able to grow crops. It's hard to be an Amish in the inner city and I was on Apache courts. Seriously. Your all your forms go away. You know what the great thing about godliness is? Is it doesn't matter what's going on outside. I don't need land and my own house in order to be godly. I don't have to have clothes with zippers or Velcro or this or that. Man, somebody else can dress me in prison garb and it doesn't matter. I can still be godly. Godliness comes from the inside, and it's applicable no matter where you are. And we've got people that have come up from the Alazan Apache courts, and have come up through that. And people that live in mansions way up on the north side, and everything in between. Let me tell you something. It doesn't matter to me whether you live in a trailer, or you live in a mansion, whether you're rich, whether you're poor, whether you're well-spoken or ill-spoken, whether you've got everything going your way or you've got nothing going your way. If you're in Christ, amen, you got a future.
Amen.
I'm telling you, you got a future.
Amen.
And this that we're in right now is only temporary. See, they were treating it like it was forever deal. And God was saying, look, I'm not going to leave you here forever. Look, take your harps back down. Start singing. Start planting. Start putting. We ought to be the most joyful people on the face of this earth.
Amen.
We ought to be the most well-mannered, the most optimistic. Yeah, I know right now pessimism is spreading throughout all the world. And yeah, we don't have to be optimistic over the wrong things, but we got a bright future. Thanksgiving ought to influence you in any stage of life. Because if certain things had to happen, an old woman told me a long time ago, she says, as long as you have your health and your safety, you can be thankful. You know, that sounds good, you know, because, you know, what's... But what if you don't have your health? Yeah, right now we got things we can be thankful for, right? I mean, we got plans for this week. What do you think they're doing in places like Baghdad right now? What do you think they're doing in places like Afghanistan? And I'm not even talking about our own troops. I'm talking about the people that have to live there and have to raise their families in war-torn places like that. Do you know that a Christian in Iraq can be thankful right along with us? They can be thankful. They may not have electricity 24 hours a day. They may not have the safety to be able to walk across the street without fear of getting shot. But I'm telling you, they can be thankful. And many of them are. It would be an inspiration to read about how Christians have acted in tough times in past times. Because then it would shame you into how self-centered, how selfish, how self-absorbed you really are. And it would shame you into being more thankful. One more scene, and this is found in the book of Luke in chapter 17. Luke in chapter 17. Verse 11, and it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save the stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. You know, this is the one that I normally think of when I think of Thanksgiving, you know, and I think about this. This illustrates another point. Because the others are in adversity, they're in darkness. You know, there's not a lot of light in those places, and yet you find Thanksgiving rising up. In this passage right here, you find an incredible miracle. I mean, these guys, you had to understand it was a long shot. They had to stand far off. They couldn't get close to Jesus. They had to yell at the top of their lungs and try to be heard over the crowds. Jesus, have mercy on us. You understand how little opportunity, how small the chances were that they could even break through and get Jesus' attention. Junie, you find in more than one spot where Jesus, you know, he's looking around in the crowds and he's saying, who touched me, you know? He's looking around and he's hearing the voice. I am so thankful that God's ear is tuned to the cry of the sinner. Man, you cry out to him. He's not all that far away. He's not all that hard of hearing. Man, he can hear. And he did an incredible thing. He said, you guys go show yourself to the priest. They turned around, went and did as he asked. And as they went, they were cleansed. Do you understand what that means for them?
Yes.
It means employment. It means they can go back home to their families. It means their life is restored. Everything changes when a leper is cleansed from his sins. Not like us today, you know, where, you know, sickness, we've got all kinds of ADA rights and wheelchairs and ramps and organizations and stuff to help the disabled on their way. Back then, man, lepers, you just stay away, get away from us. And yet the interesting thing about the story is that 9 of them just kept on going. 9 of them just kept on going. I've heard it preached before, you know, that, you know, the true Christian, they're the ones that turn around. But I don't know so much, you know. I've had to fight through some Christians to turn around and to try to get back and to give thanks. Because not all Christians are thankful. You see, at the service, you know, the service is dismissed. Everybody's kind of, and I'm just sitting around. And I said one time to somebody, I said, you know, what do all these Christians have to talk about? Because they're talking in groups here and there, you know, and they're smiling and everything. But I wonder sometimes if not all the talking is good. I wonder if all the conversations on the way to the church were a blessing and a magnification to the Lord. No, probably not. You know, sad thing about this man is he had to fight his way through 9 other people that were going in the other direction just to say thank you to the Lord. That's why I'm saying we ought to make it a habit. We ought to make it part of our lifestyle. We ought to make it such a part of our being that we don't have to go through that struggle and say, you know, I really need to thank him. I think I will. You know, I need to say something about the Lord now. I think I... You know, to make it to where it just comes out.
Amen.
I had Joey one time work for me, and he taught me some things. You guys know Joey, our missionary in Poland? Well, he's a singer. He's not a professional singer, you know. They would never hire him as one, but the man is a singer. And he was here for a while, and he said, hey, I want to work with you. And so we were doing this house way up on the north side. There were electricians and plumbers and everything. And man, Joey just walked through. You know, he'd carry a bucket of paint, and he steps over an electrician. He says, excuse me there. And then he's singing, God save a sinful man, you know. Oh, praise the Lord, you know, all these kind of things. And they're just looking at him, you know. And I was enjoying it, man. At that time, I wasn't quite as bold as he was in that thing. You know, I would witness to people, but, you know, I'm telling you what, no shame whatsoever. I mean, it was part of him. It was in his being. I can tell you about Joey that he wasn't trying to put on a show to impress me. Now, like some Christians, you know. Listening to CNN and Fox News all week long, but on Sunday morning, put on the Christian channel, you know. Carry your Bible. Oh, praise the Lord, brother. When you didn't say it the rest of this week. Hey, we know who the Lord is. It wouldn't bother us if we heard or didn't hear praise the Lord out of you so much. Let me tell you who needs to hear it. Them out there. The ones you're working with. The ones who see you every day, they've got to know that there's something different about you. And if you're just as negative, just as dark, just as cold as they are, what are they going to see? What's going to attract them? Oh, but this one, no shame whatsoever, came back and with a loud voice fell on his face and glorified God and said, thank you. Maybe you've forgotten what the Lord has done for you. Maybe it slipped your mind as to how far the Lord has pulled you. Oh yeah, you're feeling a little sorry for yourself now because of this and because of that. Most of the things you're feeling bad about right now are so incredibly temporary. They're going to be gone in a moment of time. And the things that are written in this book right here are truth and for eternity. Listen, our reality is coming. We've got wonderful things to look forward to. And as far as I'm concerned, I'd like to carry as many people with me as I can. These were a rebuke to me. That I've got to have that lifestyle. That attitude. That thanksgiving in my very being. So that when I'm with my wife and children, it's the same as when I'm in church. And it's the same as when I'm at work on the construction site. And it's the same when I'm in a meeting with somebody. And it's the same no matter where I am. It's the same whether we're at the hospital with a family member. It's the same whether our cars broke down on the side of the road or whether our car is brand new. It's the same that this lifestyle ought to be, thank you, Lord. Amen. And to be thankful. Yeah, I had no desire to preach on the holiday. But I think Thanksgiving would be a good thing for each one of us to make a part of our lives. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, I pray that we would truly, from the innermost beings of our heart, be truly thankful to you. Daily, continuously, Lord, always giving thanks for all things. Lord, help us to adopt this as a lifestyle and to change our very personality, if need be, so that we can live every day and honor and glorify you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.